What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Soul Therapy, the podcast. My name is Daniel.
Daytona.
Today, we will be talking about the rise of K-grime and K-drill in the Korean hip-hop scene. As usual, if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast on all streaming platforms, and don't forget to give us that 5-star rating. Also, for more contents, please go and follow our socials at soul_therapy, and also please support our page on Patreon at patreon.com/join/soul_therapy. We are focusing on Korean grime and Korean drill. And before we kind of dive into kind of like that scene a bit more, for those that don't know grime and drill, grime music actually began in the UK. It's considered UK hip hop. It began in the 2000s. It has a more up-tempo style. It kind of infuses with a lot of like electronic, kind of more upbeat tempo style. And some of the big artists that I'm sure many audiences are aware of are Skepta, Wiley, Kano, Stormzy. And so those guys are kind of like the pioneers in like the grime scene. And it's big in the underground scene. And it's very gritty, it's just gritty, you know, just raw, just very direct. And it's just, it's such a unique style of hip hop. And when it comes to drill music, you know, it started actually in Chicago, you know, kind of like the southern side of Chicago. And the sounds are, again, hard hitting, gritty, you know, no filters at all. And it began in the 2010s. And the pioneer that is Chief Keef, and, you know, other artists were Pop Smoke, rest in peace. And so, yeah, you know, UK kind of also adapted to that drill sound. And unlikely, which was surprising in Korea, I was very surprised that K-grime was kind of a thing and K-drill. You know what I mean? It was quite surprising to note that K-grime and K-drill was actually becoming big because at first I was like, okay, K-grime and K-drill, like, let's see how this is going to play out, you know? And I never thought that there was going to be a big kind of like fandom for it, I guess. I mean, it's not like big, but there is a group for that, you know what I mean? Like, there are people who like K-grime. Yeah, and so
grime was in this, grime is a very, it's not just in Korean spectrum of things. I genuinely view grime as a very interesting change of pace, like in hip hop. I mean, in a sense, I don't even, not me, but a lot of people don't even consider it hip hop. Mm. You know, a lot of people actually kind of prefer to view it as a completely different movement. Mm-hmm. But you have to admit, like, there are a lot of common factors, even if you believe so.
Yeah.
And grime is a, what a lot of people don't under, not understand, but don't know, simply just because they don't. Grime isn't something entirely new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, grime, you can trace the roots of grime back to, like, even the 2000s sometimes, according to perspective. And in that sense, it's not that weird that Korean hip-hop has its own grime niche market, because Korean hip-hop has always developed through trying to recontextualize foreign genres into a Korean context. Mm-hmm. Like, the way you rhyme over grime beats is completely different over how you rap over conventional hip-hop beats. So the snares and the kicks are way more
condensed.
Not just in the, like, quality wise, but the way they hit is not exactly consistent as hip hop is. It is way more, in a good way, like, more unpredictable. Like, and it's usually a, to me, I consider it a more speedy sense. Which is weird because the BPM isn't exactly faster, but the way they arrange the snares and the kicks so that there is a lot of inconsistency with it gives that kind of speedy feel to it. So naturally, how you rhyme over it has to change. How you accentuate your words over it has to change. And in that aspect, It is true that grime has had less time to
flourish,
completely develop in the Korean hip hop scene. Yeah. So there isn't a big scene here, but I think there are quite a few artists trying to run with the trend and trying to really figure out how to make better grime music. And there has been some progress. One of the best known rappers for doing grime music in Korea is an artist named Dan Def. Yep. And he's currently one of the core members of the Dead Boys crew. Yeah, which is a newly formed crew that is usually focused on UK influences. And I think it has been quite a while, but Damn Def actually landed a shout out by Wiley.
Oh, no way. That's pretty sick.
Yeah. I think he even has a picture with Wiley, and Wiley is holding up his vinyl single or something. And it was in UK MTV. I'm not sure. Do you call it MTV in the UK? I'm not sure. There was a segment about international grime, and Damn Def like managed to get a shout out on there too. Like, it's not like completely baseless, is what I'm saying. We do have a certain history to it. It's just as not as big as the Korean hip hop scene in general. And there are quite a few rappers, I think, that are trying to like take this aspect as well.
We have Blase, who's also one of them.
Zico, yeah, Blase is one of them. Jimmy Page is one of them. I mean, the name is just...
Jimmy Page. Rhythm Power.
I mean, it's exactly spelled the same way, too. That's the Led Zeppelin guitarist. And it's like, you could have come up with a better name, but eh. Anyway. And Zico dabbled a little in grime for Show Me the Money 6, I think.
I think it was.
Yeah, that thing. And it's not that grimy, but it is kind of grime.
It's like an introduction to grime. I'd say it kind of scratches the surface.
Yeah, that kind of grime. It's still grime, though. For sure. Like, you see certain influences in there. And I think Rhythm Power, in general, tried it with a few singles. And then Boy B is the one who runs with it. With the whole Dead Boys.
I feel like Rhythm Power is kind of focusing to the grime scene more. You know what I mean? I think after they left I think after they left Amoeba Culture and when they established Team Play Music, I think they really wanted to go in a different direction. And you can see or you can hear it on Rhythm Power's EP called Aspras, which is a producer, by the way, who produced that album. But for the most part, a couple of the songs have like that grime to it. And so you can...
Yeah, that Bangsaneum song.
By Jiguin.
There's a song called Radioactive. Which was kind of weird because their original team name was Radioactive. Mm-hmm. And they changed it to Rhythm Power. Like, it was before even they debuted properly. And it's called... And they took the name from their original group name and used it to make a grime song. So it felt really like a new start kind of thing.
Exactly.
Kind of new chapter. Granted, I'm not sure if Hinju and Jiguin is on the same page, but Boy B is definitely hard into grime right now. With him forming a crew that is specifically geared to like making UK stuff.
Especially the Dead Boys album Mantra that recently dropped album.
Yeah.
That was
the one you couldn't hear. Yeah,
unfortunately, I cannot.
Isn't it like it's not even on YouTube?
No, it's on YouTube. It's just not available on iTunes, which is ridiculous. But I just think that whole album was. I was listening to it. I was like, dude, this is such a good album. You know, like when are you gonna ever hear something like this?
Yeah, it was very interesting take. Like, a lot of the rudimentary grime stuff that came out in Korea had problems because, like, they were so obsessed with trying to make the grime tempo, which is, I think, about 140 BPM to, like, 155. And they were so obsessed with the tempo that it it felt like grime, but it also was very monotonous. But they cleared that up with this album. There are a lot of varieties regarding tempo and the drum patterns, and the way they construct their songs was very solid. The rap performances were obviously great. One thing I was a little bit down on for this album was that this is a compilation album after all. Right? But most of the verses are from Dem Def and Boy B.
For the most part,
Yeah, I think the other rappers could have done it more rather than better. Because from what I know, Dead Boys is more than these two people, Dem Def and Boy B, right? Who is it exactly?
I'm not too sure, but...
They never said it, though.
It's usually, for the most part, it's Dem Def and Boy B. Like, from what I know, it's... Because I try... finding out more about Dead Boys, but usually it's just Boy B and Dem Def. And so, but I think I have to give a shout out though to Dead Boys for collaborating with Sweet Female Attitude. And for those who don't know Sweet Female Attitude, I'm sure everybody in the UK knows, but for those who aren't familiar with Sweet Female Attitude, it's a female duo where they made a lot of garage music, UK garage, and it's kind of like house music, kind of dance music, but
I think it was in the 2000s.
It was in the 2000s, yeah. And they were known for the very famous song, Flowers, you know? And
yeah, Flower.
That was a real hit song. And when I heard that, or when I saw that Dead Boys collaborated with Sweet Female Attitude, I was just like, what the heck? Like, no way. Like, I was like, absolutely.
I think Dem Def has some.
That's crazy. And I wouldn't be surprised, because you mentioned to me that he took a picture, or Wiley gave a shout out. And, you know, so I'm assuming that there is there is that connection. And so, like, it's just so cool how, you know, Korea is able to gain that influence from the UK and like create kind of like our own version of, you know, grime music. You know what I mean? Because for the most part, grime music focuses on a lot of, like, you know, just heavy issues. You know what I mean? Just really strong contents. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure we have, or I'm not too sure, but I'm sure people in Korea know, like, there's a lot of struggles in Korea. And I'm sure, you know, stuff that I don't know, like things that go behind the scenes that are like really dark and stuff. And I'm sure, you know, Dead Boys got that influence and then input it into that Mantra album, which is, you know, really amazing, because I think people kind of see, or you've mentioned this so many times in our podcast, where Korea, people see Korea as like this really flowery, kind of like really, you know, clean kind of country. And then, but what we don't know is that there are a lot of things that go behind the scenes that go unnoticed that are negative and dark. And so,
I mean, granted, I think it's getting a little bit better, like the whole misconception thing, because of the Squid Game and stuff like DP going on. Yeah, and people are going, like, people are coming to realize that, maybe Korea isn't like that. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I just looked up the Dead Boys crew, and there are 7 members, I think. 6 actually. Yeah. 3 of them are MCs.
Okay.
So I think it's Dem Def, Boy B, and Kim Han. This is the three people. And the 3 producers are Hardy, Lobotomy, and Mar Vista. Now, a little bit more introduction here. The 3 MCs, I don't even have to talk about it. Boy B was a part of Rhythm Power. Dem Def has been doing this for a long time. Kim Han, I don't have that much information on, but listen to this album, and if you like him, look it up. One of the people that are in here is called Lobotomy, who's been in this scene for like how many long years? I don't even fucking know.
Long time,
like,
bro.
Like, Lobotomy has been around with like Overclass, so... How
maybe,
long is that?
Maybe
shit?
Like 12 years, I think. 12 years, I'd say. Yeah. Because Overclass came out with their album in 2009, Collage 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's even more like sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Sorry, I never thought about this. I have to look this up a little. His oldest songs on... Damn, he fucked a one, man. That was like 2007. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's a living legend in a sense. Like, he's one of those people that are very instrumental in, like, alternative hip-hop in Korea. Mm-hmm. And I think we mentioned this before in our podcast, like, his collaborative album with DemDef called Standalone System, which was a really futuristic dystopian take on grime music. Like, that combination worked perfectly, so check that out again. It's a very... Mantra is a very solid album, and I really want to see where they go with this. Like, if they do it well, it means a lot of people will be into, like, more into grime. So that's a plus for me. That means there are more various movements within the hip-hop scene, and we need that.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this then. When it comes to rhythm power, do you think that by the end, or as K-hip-hop continues to evolve, do you think rhythm power at the end will become kind of established, their kind of like their identity as, like, you know, maybe like kind of like the pioneer of K-grime, like drill or something like that?
No, for one reason. DemDef already existed.
Well, yeah.
And what do you call it? I wanted rhythm power to, like, go full grime last album.
Yeah.
They did it. Like, grime was just kind of a part of it, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there was, like, only, like, one or two songs that were grime. But for the most part, it was, like, trap.
Yeah, I just wanted a full fucking... After that Bangsaneng track, I was like, damn, they're finally, like, catching on to something that is really suitable of their taste. So I wanted them to, like, go full grime, but that didn't happen. So it was like, they could have gone farther with this. Because that track was great. And I just didn't understand why they didn't do it. But, what happened, happened. And with this whole... If, like, pioneers of grime music... are going to happen, like, it will be this Dead Boys crew, I think. There will be other couple of rappers, but, like, Blase's recent turn to grime was not that... it's been a recent turn, if I'm correct. Yeah, he didn't start out by trying to do grime. DemDef has been doing grime for, like, at least, like, 3 to 4 years.
He's been doing it for a while. It's just that people...
Like, he was the guy who was doing grime when nobody else did.
Exactly.
Like, this was even, like, way before Swoosh Flow by Chung.
Oh, yeah,
so
for
it's
sure.
Like, yeah, this is the guy that was doing it when no one even knew what grime was. So I'll have to give DemDef the props to that. Granted, I think Jimmy Page and DemDef, not DemDef, Blase, is showing a lot of promise too. Like, I mean, it's kind of... It's kind of funny a little bit because when you listen to their music, they pronounce Korean words like it's British English.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit funny, but also dope at the same time because I'm accustomed to, like, listening to British grime. So it does sound more natural in a sense because both of them are good at English.
Yeah.
So it's not like the pronunciations are off or anything. It's just like they pronounce their Korean words like British people would do as well. So it's like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it somehow works well with the beat, so who cares? So I was like, it's funny, but I'll get used to it.
Do you think Venko is another rising grime producer? Because he did remix DemDef's album.
I don't think anyone, like, except for the Dead Boys crew, I don't think anyone would explicitly trying to become a grime producer at this time. So I wouldn't say a rising star because I don't know what he'll do next. He might have just done it as a one-off shoot.
True.
But if he keeps up this work, I see no why not, because that beat was great. That remix was good, so. It's just that this Dead Boys compilation really means a lot there hasn't been this much of a cloud again on UK grime music before. There was a little bit cloud that MDEF managed to like put together, and Boy B as well, but this was the first full-length project, and this showed that Korean rappers can use this sound and make a very solid piece of work. It isn't a one-off thing anymore. This isn't just a passing trend. Like, they're serious about making grime like respectable in Korean hip hop.
What's really impressive about grime music is the fact that it doesn't give you enough time to breathe. Like, it's just so impressive to see how rappers can just continue that flow without stopping. It's like, I get so like stuffed, you know, like very uncomfortable when they're rapping. I'm like, oh my goodness, like they need to like breathe, like take a breather. But
grime is like, I think it has a lot to do with the tempo. Yeah. Like
it's a fast tempo, yeah.
Like at least in a song, like hip hop in general has a very steady rhythm to it. Once you catch up to rhythm, it doesn't change that much unless you like intentionally switch the beat up or something. Grime is very unpredictable in its nature, and I think that gives a certain sense of claustrophobic, feeling to it in a good way. I'm not saying that grime sucks at all, but it's a very refreshing take because, personally, it kind of feels more organic.
Mm. It does,
ironically, because it seems less programmed, even though all of the instruments are probably programmed and heavily compressed. Mm-hmm. Because of its like unpredictable nature. And there's a lot of interesting movements within grime as well. One thing I realized about the UK scene is that some people are classified as grime and some people are not. But because of their accent, in a sense, it makes them feel like a bigger part. Like a part of something much bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's just very interesting to see. One of my favorite UK, like some of my favorite UK artists right now are, I really like Stormzy.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
JME is great. Mm-hmm. JME is amazing. Slow Tie. Mm-hmm. But Slow Tie isn't exactly grime. You know, that's what I'm talking about here. So it's like, the one reason why grime is so interesting right now is because you don't know how to exactly classify grime. Yeah. It's not like American hip hop where there are established subgenres and you can kind of, you know, talk within that kind of categories. Right. But that didn't happen with grime yet. For example, if you look at beats that Skepta or Wiley rides, they're vastly different from the beats that Stormzy rides right now. Like, Stormzy has a very strong American trap influence in his music. And, well, that was the whole diss debacle they had with Wiley, right? Yeah, the you're not true grind kind of thing. Gatekeeping is lame, but, you know, Wiley is Wiley, so. I think that kind of sentiment, like, of trying to fuse different genres should happen in Korean hip-hop as well.
For sure, yeah.
So, like, one of the things I like about this Dead Boys compilation is that, like, I mentioned it earlier in this episode, but they don't try to do the most conventional grime. They try to experiment even within that genre.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it's like, huh. Usual, and the fact that Koreans are doing it, it's kind of interesting to me. And, like, their enunciation, like, how they pronounce their words are very interestingly different, too, so... I'm all for it. This is one of my best albums of 2021.
I think one of the cool things about grime, especially in the Korean grime scene, is I think when we were talking about Jigoin in Show Me the Money in his second round performance, the Cypher, when he had that grime song, it's so unique and it's so refreshing to hear a unique artist like Jigoin tackle a really... fast up-tempo grime beat. It's just, it's so refreshing, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like you listen to it and you just go like, damn, this is the type of stuff that we need, you know, something that's different, something refreshing, but at the same time it keeps within kind of like that mainstream route. You know what I mean? It's, I just find it so fascinating when, especially Rhythm Power, because Rhythm Power is a group that I've admired for such a long time. You know, people don't give them the credit that they deserve, but those dudes can rap. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, people like laugh at them as if, you know, they're, you know, and I'm just like, yo, like, these dudes are, like, to me, like, in my perspective, a top flight, like, hip hop crew in the Korean hip hop scene. And once, you know, they're kind of going in a new route, and Boy B really committing himself to the grime scene, I was like, all right, we're going somewhere with this, you know. And I think Boy B has a unique voice too. That whole, like, all three of the members have like their own unique colors to them. You know, Boy B has like this kind of straight street kind of like hip hop vibes to him, and then Jiguin has kind of like this high tone, just kind of, it almost seems or sounds kind of melodic if you gave him like a melodic beat, but the dude comes out straight fire. And Hengju has like a combine of both Boy B and Jiguin. You know, there's something about Rhythm Power that really has like a charisma. They have a lot of charisma and charm that is really refreshing. And hopefully, I really hope they do kind of go into, you know, like that grime, that drill sound a bit more. Although we already said that Boy B is kind of like doing that already, but for Jiguin and Hengju, I kind of want them to explore more in that route, because I think if they establish themselves within those sounds, I think they could be something, not something, but be more refreshing and something that we need to hear, you know, and something that's needed in the Korean hip hop scene. And so I just love Rhythm Power. And going back to Blase, I think Blase is another artist that's definitely in that route, because his previous projects, they were mostly all trap sounds, because like he had a lot of songs with Coogie and a lot of like kind of like the conventional mainstream stuff. But recently he's been going more towards kind of like that drill, that grime stuff. And this is just my opinion, but I think he fits way more better with that, with grime and drill. There's something about Blase's tone that just really captivates that really raw, gritty, just fierce kind of, you know, straight into you type of hip hop. And so
I think he worked a lot about how to pronounce his words, because he sounds really smooth on them. Like, it's one of the biggest problems with grime music, not grime music in general, but the people who claim to be doing grime music, is that they're so ridiculously offbeat.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, a lot of... this is not even a Korean case. A lot of American rappers who are hopping on that drill shit because it's the new cool thing. Like, they want to be the next Pop Smoke or something. And their tempo is fucking horrible. It's like, you're not even on beat. What are you doing, kind of thing? And I think Blase, like, really tried to make it work. Like, you have to be in a different mindset. Like, you have to construct your rhymes differently, I think. You have to, like, enunciate your words differently. You need to, like, accentuate different points within a sentence or a bar if you're on a grind beat. Most of the cases, anyway. So, it's kind of refreshing to see that. Like, trying to actually hone down how to rap on a grind beat properly.
Bro, it's not easy. Like, it's
not easy. Of course not.
When I hear a grime beat or a drill beat, I'm just like, how the heck do these guys rap over this? It's like, where do you even...
It's
like,
really hard.
Where do you even begin? You know, like your first line. Like, where do you even begin? And how do you end that line? And how do you transition into the next line? And I think when it comes to, again, Korean grime, I think it's really impressive, because we are putting both Korean language and the English language. And Blase's performance in the second round, when he had that grime, or not that, it wasn't grime beat, but it was a drill beat, right? The song was called Peace Out. Apparently, he's gonna make a full length song out of it, but it felt like a dart hitting you. You know what I mean? Like he's just kind of like throwing darts at you. Just every word, every line that he enunciates, it's so powerful. It's so impactful. And it leaves you kind of like a sting, like a bee sting. And I think that's something that's really needed because, to be quite honest, like we hear a lot of just like trap stuff and like it's good, you know, we love it, but you know, we need something more different. You know what I mean? Like it's always good to have like formulaic sounds, you know, because a lot of rappers are really good at it, but at the same time, we need something new. And I think with the rise of K-grime and drill music in Korea, I think it's going to bring a lot more energy. I think a lot more allow Korean hip hop scene to be more grounded. You know, it's going to expand if we continue to gain influences from, you know, the UK or the US with, you know, all these sounds that, you know, we are provided with, you know. And so I kind of want to see UK garage sounds to become popular in Korea. That's a genre that I really want to be more popularized, because I love like dance music and, you know, house music and garage music, and I feel like UK garage has kind of fell off the ropes for a really long time. Like we don't really hear it consistently enough. And I feel like with kind of like the consistency with, you know, grime and drill, with artists like Damn Def, who's been doing it for such a long time, Rhythm Power, Blase, like I hope we have like an artist that kind of comes in with a garage vibe, like a K garage, like a Korean garage stuff. And because I think it's the more you have these things, the more it's beneficial to the culture. You know, it's like, sure, you have all the other old sounds, but sometimes it's, you want things to grow. You want things to, you know, change. And I think if you can revive the garage scene, you know, and bring it over to Korea, I think that's also something that's really going to be impactful and beneficial, because I think we don't really have a big dance genre scene in Korea. You know, like the house music scene or like trance music, like it's not big, you know, we don't have artists specifically that we say, oh, this person specifically does house music. Oh, this person specifically does trance music. We don't really have that. I really hope kind of like that dance scene grows in Korea, but also affiliating itself to the hip hop culture. You know, I don't know if that makes sense, but I just think it's so cool to have grime and drill becoming big in Korea. And so, you know, it's just really cool. And I'm curious to ask you this. Do you think Yeomda's John Cena is considered a grime song?
Yeah, that is definitely grime.
Okay. And that was a sample that they pulled from DJ Coker's song, right? It's called Chonna Go.
Yeah, I think so. It was a sample, and I think DJ Coker actually kind of, what do you call it, helped recontextualize it from his song. Like, he actually helped in sampling his own music. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say that it is sampled from the original DJ Coker song.
Yeah, it's because like when I was hearing John Cena, I was like, what do you call this? Do you call this grime, or do you call this something else? Because it's so unique, but it's also strange, you know. It's just, it's really fast, and you would almost think like it's kind of like dance music, but it's at the same time, like, do you call it grime, do you call it like a dance hip-hop, or like it's kind of like hard to make of it, you know what I mean, like to really say like this song is grime or this song is dance hip-hop, because the both are completely different. But I think, yeah, like you alluded to, I think John Cena is considered a grime song. And I also like DJ Coker. You know, I think this is kind of like different. He had an EP, and it's, I don't know, like for some reason, I just kind of think that he is considered grime, even though he's not grime. He's just a DJ. But for some reason in my head, I'm just like, why do I keep thinking DJ Coker is a a grime producer.
I think the song John Cena kind of made it representative of it, or like impression of
it. Yeah, that's what I'm probably
thinking. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
That's what I'm mostly thinking. One final question is, like, how long do you think this can last, you know, in the Korean hip hop scene? Like, do you think this can,
as long as it wants to?
Yeah.
It's not like grime is like, I don't think like Damn Death or Boy B is trying to top the charts with it or anything. Like, for example, if your movement is entirely centered around trying to make it up to the charts and making as commercial as music as possible, there is going to be a limit to how long you can go.
Yeah.
But this is not a movement like that. Like, this is like, they did this for like such a long period of time and they're still going to do it. So, they can do this as long as they want to.
But do you think they can, like, they actually want it to become big? You know what I mean? Like, because I'm sure
they're not. That's my point, though. Like, they're not big. I know it sounds kind of lame, but they're big. Like, if you're thinking about big here, it's not like they're getting attention. That's true. Like, within the scene, they have a certain amount of respect. Like, it's like this. Like Damn Death is the guy you go to if you're going to make some UK kind of style shit. Like, everyone is like, you know what? I'm going to do a little bit of like grime shit on my album. Yep, get Damn Death. That's what happens here. But for you to fail, you need to succeed first.
Yeah.
So they haven't had the exact mainstream success yet.
Yeah.
And frankly and realistically speaking, I never see grime being that hot in Korea.
Okay.
Because we simply never had, at least from my memory, I think there has ever been a song that topped the charts with such a frantic amount of tempo variations.
But.
So.
But I mean.
What I see in. Go on.
But I mean, like, didn't Changmo's Swoosh Flow kind of like.
No, I don't think it did that well on the charts.
Yeah,
it went viral on YouTube and stuff like that, but it wasn't that high on the charts, if I'm correct. And you gotta admit it, as much as I like Swoosh Flow and that is a very hard-ass song, it's kind of the most basic grime you can get. Right?
Yeah.
it's not even grime, it's more drill.
Yeah.
It's more New York drill type rather than the UK grime. And I think what the Dead Boys and people who are drawing grime music in Korea should be doing is not trying to top the charts.
Really?
That's first, it's very important. I think what the more important thing is to do is to make sure that you keep putting out great work and try to expand your fan base within the underground scene.
Right.
And then you can think about the mainstream shit. I have seen far too many people trying to go mainstream without establishing that kind of respect and solid underground fan base, and they just get it to the top of the charts, stay there for like, 8 months, and they just disappear. I don't want that happening to them. Like, especially since this is not just about them. This is about them fronting an entire musical movement. Like, a lot of people will be influenced by them, like people who want to do grime or people who are even turned on to grime without even knowing what it is, and they just check this out and it was cool as fuck. So what they should be doing is like just consistently put out great work. Now, it won't be as financially rewarding as killing it in the charts, but that's the case for many, many other movements in Korean hip-hop, like the new wave records throwing like Memphis music. They're not doing shit on the charts. Most of the people we're talking about on this podcast, both this episode and a lot of other episodes, don't do shit on the charts. It's not about the charts. What we're talking about here is the culture and how people are gravitating toward it, but only almost strictly in the independent and hip-hop scene. Being hot in hip-hop isn't exactly making it into the top 100 Melon chart in, you know, Korea. But it is still something worth valuable talking about because it shows that they can still like create a fan base that's not exactly as huge as someone who would kill the charts, but it is still a very respectable amount and how they can keep on their career by making music. I think wanting a group such as Dead Boys to like suddenly skyrocket through the charts is not is a little bit unrealistic, but also it might be kind of robbing their chance to like musically evolve first.
Okay.
When artists rise fast, most of the times they fall fast as well.
Yeah, that's fact, yeah.
And that is such a fucking shame. Mm-hmm. This happened to a lot of rappers, believe it or not. They kind of got a sort of a very lucky kind of success. Mm-hmm. They get drunk in success, and they don't follow up their hits with more hits or great albums, and they just fade into obscurity. Mm-hmm. I won't say who it is.
Mm-hmm.
They have their 15 minutes of fame and they lose their 15 year worth of career. Yeah. I don't want to see that happening at all to anyone. Like the allure of such glory and fame is not worth possibly decades of freedom to self-expression and artistry. Mm-hmm. It's never a good change. History proves it. Like, a lot of musicians, what we consider legends in, like, pop music history, they have, like, some of them, and a lot, not some of them, a lot of them, like, never even went into, like, the Billboard Top 100 or Top 200 for a fact. Mm-hmm. But if you do what you do and people are influenced by you, and especially if other artists are influenced by you, you earn a spot in history, and everyone will give their credit at least once in your lifetime. For example, like, in this day and age, you're crazy if you think the Beatles has more influence than the Velvet Underground. You're crazy. The Velvet Underground is way, way more influential in today's music than the Beatles. Can you really say, like, shit, stuff like Billie Eilish or, like, all the edgy kind of Lil Peep kind of stuff. The Beatles didn't influence that. Let's be real about it. That kind of dark, brooding aspect, no one bought it in the 60s. They thought it was shit. They thought it was like not music. Look at where they are now. Like, everyone knows the Velvet Underground, and any artist who has some kind of dark artistry to themselves, they all are influenced by Velvet Underground one way or the other. But the Beatles, like, at least I won't say like they don't have influence anymore, because they certainly do, but they didn't contribute as much to, this is a very edgy take, by the way, I guess, but I mean, David Bowie said it, who cares? Like David Bowie said that in like the 80s in an interview with BBC, I think. Like, David Bowie literally said, the Velvet Underground is way more influential than the Beatles right now. And that is always what happens with music history. Mm-hmm. It really is.
True.
Like, for example, like, Wu-Tang. As much as Wu-Tang is credited for, like, revitalizing the East Coast, you'll have to admit, Wu-Tang wasn't big as, like, Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm not saying Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg is not influential. I mean, of course they are. They're fucking huge. Yeah. But Wu-Tang did what they always are supposed to do. Like, they kept on with what they're doing. And now everyone is influenced by Wu-Tang. Mm-hmm. They didn't have, like, the craziest and most stupidest, like, amount of chart numbers. Mm-hmm. Right? They did have financial success, but it wasn't as big as, like, Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre with the Chronic and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of people consider that. Well, a lot of people will probably consider them better because of all the solo work they put out, like put out and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, like Snoop Dogg is really like has Doggy Style, which is a classic album, hands down. But the Wu-Tang affiliates like put out each like great albums group wise, and each of their albums created another subgenre. Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at Chisel Liquid Swords, it's basically a blueprint for avant-garde hip-hop, sonical-wise. Like, Only Built for Cuban Links by Raekwon is considered, like, the pioneer for mafioso rap. And, like, Method Man's Tikal is basically what the East Coast response to the whole party music scene in the West Coast, you know? So we have to talk about influence. Like, charts, the reason why I say charts aren't everything isn't just because of sentimental value. It is proven through music history that you can have other forms of success even without immediate chart success. It all comes down to how much of how consistent you are, how like serious about your artistry you are. And that pays off. It takes a longer time, but it is...
It's well worth it.
It takes a longer time, but it's more worth it, and it goes longer.
Exactly.
You don't burn out. It's not like burning out and being done with it. Like, you can still create for a longer period of time, and that is a definite advantage. It's always better to be a guy who always is making music.
For sure, yeah.
Than to be a guy who has been making music.
Yeah.
So, definitely, why not?
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, as the Korean grime, Korean drill scene continues to steadily grow, hopefully we get more artists kind of going in that route, because we do need something refreshing and a more kind of a new take. And so, yeah, I'm definitely excited. And so as we begin to slowly wrap up our show, as usual, any artists or tracks that you're currently listening to and would like to share or recommend to our listeners?
I will go with the Dead Boys compilation.
For sure.
The album is called Mantra. The album is called Mantra. And I liked the track Sounds Like This. Yeah. I mean, you already mentioned the Sweet Female Attitude collab, so I'll go with the next track. Sounds Like This it was a great track. It's just listen to it. Nah.
It's fire.
Yeah.
For me, I'm going to go with Since. And since we were on the topic of drill and grime, she has a song called Fist Down featuring Don Mills. And it's a drill song. And
Don Mills does great on drill beats too.
This song, people, y'all need to listen to this song. Like, for real. Like, this song was off of her album called Sin 16. And it was, I would say it's her official debut, kind of getting to know more about Sin's music. And this album was under a project called Boiling Point with Deep Flow. And so Deep Flow oversaw the, as a producer, right? He kind of like...
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Executive
producer. And so this album from top to bottom, it's a really good album. And Fist Down, it's if you like drill, this is a song to it. And I'm going to tell you right now, Since is becoming one of my top favorite MCs in the Korean hip hop scene. It's like, no joke. Like, she has monster skills. Like, this, like, she is an artist.
Yeah, she's such a great rapper.
Bro, like, wow. Like, I don't have any words for her. Like, she's just that good to me. You know, it's refreshing for a female hip hop artist that has this type of tone. You know what I mean? Just really gritty, just kind of just in your face type of tone. And she's definitely becoming a star in this Korean hip hop scene. So
yeah,
definitely check out not just the song, but that whole album. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please do comment and let us know what you think of today's topic. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please go and subscribe to our podcast on all platforms, and please give us that 5-star rating. If you want more K-Hip-Hop contents, go check out Daytona's Instagram at myk_Daytona for K-Hip-Hop album reviews, and also follow our social media page at soul_therapy. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next time. Peace.